Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, talking some Penn State football. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. Greg Pickle here, too. We're just figuring out where Penn State fits in, looking at the 2018 Big Ten season, and really just trying to get a feel for what everybody's got, what the stories are to be watching this spring and this summer, and the basics of the position battle. Just get a lay of the land. I'm sure we'll have a lot of opportunities between now and the summer to break down the Big Ten even further. But really, just right off the bat here, Greg, just trying to figure out where Penn State fits in. You know, I think a lot of people see some of the question marks that Penn State has and will want to put them behind Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State. Like, I'm pretty sure in some of these way too early college football national rankings, in a handful of cases at least, Penn State was behind Michigan, which I think is pretty funny.
Yeah, no question about it. Can I ask you, speaking of Michigan, can I ask you an unrelated Big Ten question before we get too far down the path here?
I mean, you're going to.
Yeah.
You've already wasted all of our time to this point.
That's so. Right.
Now, go ahead. What's
your
that?
Thoughts on John O'Korn calling himself the most draft-ready quarterback in this year's draft class?
So I don't have the full context of that quote. I don't know if there was more to it than that, but I don't know if you can massage beyond making that statement and make it realistic and on any planet.
So his argument was that he sat in on the game planning meetings with Jim Harbaugh and the offensive staff, and I guess his assumption is that no other quarterback in the draft did that, thus making him the most prepared to go in terminology-wise and all that kind of stuff in the NFL draft class because he thinks he was the only quarterback to be involved in game planning.
Well, let me ask you this. What good does it do you to know all the terminology and all the schemes if you cannot play it for the life of you?
You know what it makes him? A good future graduate assistant.
I think that's
exactly
wonderful.
What it makes him. But yeah, not so anyway, we don't need to waste too much time on that, but I just had to get your take.
This is silly season with the NFL draft.
Right.
That was the most absurd thing that came across my desk.
Yeah. I mean, it was hard to believe. And even when you've read the quote and you think to yourself, wait a second, what's this guy getting at?
Yeah, I don't think the context doesn't really matter so much
right
there. Let's start right there with Michigan and with the quarterback position and with Jim Harbaugh's reputation, I would say, of developing quarterbacks. I thought last year that Michigan was in a little bit of trouble at the quarterback spot because I did not believe in Wilton Spate, who ended up getting injured, and they went down this road where I think John O'Korn, the most NFL-ready quarterback in college football,
yep,
just they stuck with him for too long. And now I think they're going this transfer route again. That's not official
so
yet,
the,
right?
Yeah, right. So the quarterback, Shea Patterson from Ole Miss, has not officially been given his clearance yet to play at Michigan without sitting out a year. His lawyer was in the news recently trying to push the action, I think, via the media, but basically saying that Ole Miss has been dragging its feet, doing its end of the compliance paperwork signing so that the NCAA can make a decision on it. So we'll have to wait and see. But at this point, as far as I know, he should be able to participate in spring practice as long as he's enrolled. But certainly it is a big cloud over Jim Harbaugh's head in Ann Arbor with this situation.
Well, and so let's just say they get Shea Patterson and how long are they going with Band-Aid fixes instead of just and does it speak to where, you know, some of the other guys are? McCaffrey, for example, Brandon Peters. I don't think Shea Patterson comes in with the idea of sitting or really making it a fair competition for the job.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what Peters is looking for in particular. You have these two guys who are on the young side who, you know, at some point in time it's going to be put up or shut up time.
Yeah.
You're just kicking that can down the road by bringing in another experienced guy. But what's the right thing to do? You know, is this a suggestion about where those guys are, or is this just we have to do everything we can to win now?
It's a Tommy Stevens question. It's essentially the same thing. You bring in Shea Patterson, you might have and not to say Tommy Stevens is going to transfer, but if he does, this is this kind of a situation he could end up in where a team has a guy that they thought was going to be the guy that probably isn't the guy. So they bring in somebody that's a little bit more proven, and they call it a competition, but it's really not a competition at all. Shea Patterson is cleared by the NCAA to play this year, and as long as he doesn't injure himself, he's going to be Michigan's opening day starter. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So, I mean, it's just – but again, they have the big, big thing to figure out with whether or not – if Shea Patterson's going to get cleared. Is it assumed that he will? Yes. Is it done yet? No, and it's taken longer than expected, which has to be a reason for concern if you're a Michigan follower. So, you know, I will say that you look at the rest of the Michigan lineup, and it's pretty good. I mean, they return a lot of key pieces, but as we saw with them last year, you don't have a quarterback, you probably aren't going to win too many games.
In the grand scheme of the Big Ten, and actually really just nationwide, how should Penn State be viewed? There's respect that comes with what they've done the past 2 years. There's also knowledge that obviously you're not starting from scratch on the offensive side, but you're losing a big time playmaker. I think the number out there, and I haven't really sat down to do the math, but there are three defensive starters returning, plus John Reed, a lot of other guys who played a lot, but you are replacing a lot up the middle. But at the end of the day, I mean, if you have a really experienced offensive line and one that could take the next big step, you've got a big-time wide receiver, you're losing, you know, Mike Gesicki and Deshaun Hamilton. There's a lot of stuff to try to reconcile, but I don't think all the stuff that might be questions to people are fatal flaws for Penn State, especially when you have a fifth-year quarterback at Trace McSorley.
It's so weird because Trace McSorley is almost forgotten about in the equation. It's just assumed that he's going to be there and throw for over 2,000 yards and make the right decision 9.5 times out of 10 and all this stuff. He's almost taken for granted, and people seem to forget that Penn State probably has the best quarterback in the Big Ten. I don't think that's a stretch to say. I mean, you look around the rest of the conference, who would you put above him at this point?
There's nobody there. I mean, the Ohio State quarterback battle intrigues me, but there's nobody who's done it like Trace McSorley has.
Right.
So, you know, Brian Lewerke did his thing. And that's what's interesting to me is that Michigan State seems to get a lot of respect for having Lewerke back. And, you know, I think they've got more starters returning. But Trace McSorley, I think, for somebody who they want to keep saying is in the Heisman Trophy conversation to start next season, I don't think they really treat Penn State like they've got a Heisman Trophy quarterback coming back.
No, while you were talking, I looked at three different Big Ten spring position rankings from three different outlets, and they all have Ohio State's situation ranked first, and I just don't get it.
If you're writing
from the perspective of going into spring practice, it's just an illogical thing to believe. I mean, look, Dwayne Haskins has had some moments, and he obviously was a highly touted recruit, but talking about, like you just said, a Heisman Trophy candidate in state college, that just really was surprised me to see that.
I think the upside thing factors into it, and the belief that upside will be recognized and it will be realized right away, which we all know is never a guarantee. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show talking Big Ten football this spring, and let's go back to Ohio State. Dwayne Haskins is probably the guy. Penn State fans should be somewhat familiar with him. I think he gave Penn State a look, not a long, long look, but he's a prospect from Maryland. He initially committed to Maryland, decommitted, and went to Ohio State, paid his dues. Yep. At some point in the middle of last season, I think Ohio State fans wanted to see him and didn't. JT Barrett moves on. Is there a possibility, no matter how you rank the position groups in the Big Ten, but is there a possibility for addition by subtraction by going to a guy in Dwayne Haskins who I believe can, you know, has a little bit more electric ability, a little bit more arm talent than JT Barrett, a little bit more athleticism than JT Barrett, can maybe unlock a little bit more of that Ohio State offense?
I think there's a very, very good chance that that becomes the case, yeah.
But you can't rank them like that right now.
Right, exactly, yeah. And the one thing I would say, Dustin, is we seem to have this conversation every couple of years with Ohio State where they're said to have the next great thing at quarterback, and sometimes that's the case and sometimes it's not. I don't want to rush to anoint James or Dwayne Haskins of anything at this point. Like I said, he has all the talent in the world, and he certainly could end up being the best quarterback in the Big Ten. But I would, you know, I would say that he has a lot to prove at this point as a redshirt sophomore.
I do like what Ohio State has, though. I mean, especially that backfield too, J.K. Dobbins and Mike Weber. I was a little surprised that Mike Weber was pushed aside the way that he was. I thought he was a guy with a really bright future, and he still does. But J.K. Dobbins is electric. There's a possibility there for Ohio State to have a great offense, one that's even better this season. What about Michigan State? You know, I think that I view them being placed in national top tens as like a course correction or an overreaction to not paying enough attention to them before last season.
Yeah.
I'd like Brian Lewerke, and I think that they've got, but really, I mean, talent for talent, that you're just looking at another Michigan State roster that just doesn't have the same caliber of athletes as some of their peers in the Big Ten.
They're always going to be a team that sneaks up on people, and when they're ranked low, they sneak up on you and typically outperform your expectations. But whenever they get into this top 10, top 15 conversation, they seem to disappoint you. So I'm down on them a little bit this year. I do like Brian Lewerke. I think that him, and I believe LJ Scott's back, if I'm not mistaken, so he'll be back in the mix. I mean, it's not like they don't have pieces, but Felton Davis will be tough to replace. They lose some guys in the secondary. They do obviously return a pretty good group of corners. But, I mean, I look at their season, and it's all about Lewerke. If he develops like and plays consistently like he did against Penn State out in East Lansing after the 3-hour and 30-minute what felt like 5 hours and 50-minute rain delay, you know, they'll have a chance to surprise some people. I just don't know if all the parts are there. I'm a little bit leery of their outlook at this point, especially, like I said, when they are on sort of a pedestal I'm not sure they deserve to be on.
Yeah, I think the bottom line, for better or worse, whether it be an over respect or under or disrespected, nobody knows what to do with Michigan State because you know they're not going to turn a lot of heads for the sheer talent they have. What's one team in the Big Ten that you think can take a step forward or isn't being discussed enough or could be a little bit of a surprise? I'll give mine first just because I'm asking the question.
Yep.
Maryland, if it all comes together for them. If their quarterbacks aren't injured, you know, they've recruited at a pretty high level for two or three cycles now under DJ Durkin. I think there's some potential for Maryland to give somebody a headache, to beat somebody that they shouldn't, or multiple somebody.
Yeah, as long as they don't keep losing quarterbacks for the entire season. I mean, seriously, there have been some good Maryland teams that have just stymied by the fact that they've had four quarterbacks go down a couple times now.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I'll take the easy pick. I'll go with Nebraska, Scott Frost. I mean, that's as trendy of a pick as you can get. It'll be the darling of every Big Ten preview you read. The guy is a heck of a coach, though. I think they have some pieces there, a team to watch for sure in 2018.
If it's not 18, it's probably going to be 19. I will put Minnesota in that same group. Purdue, too, to get these really good coaches, if they get all the athletes that they can and get a move in the right direction, future could be bright. All right, we're moving on. Penn State Wrestling. Brandon Pelter will join us to look back one more time on that impressive season. Hey, Dustin Hawkinsmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can. When you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.